It was 14 years ago, and England was coming off of a very bad summer. Unemployment was up, racial incidents were erupting in the bigger cities, and it seemed like everybody was walking around with a chip on their shoulder. Everybody was presumably too self-absorbed, the way you get in situations like that, to notice that something momentous was about to happen. But in London, if you'd looked around, there were clues. A small clique of journalists from the New Musical Express, a weekly pop paper, and a number of very odd musicians were playing music in various configurations. Journalist Nick Kent had been to New York and had seen what was going on there, so he and a guy named Chris Miller, who called himself Rat Scabies, formed a band, the Subterraneans. Kent went back to writing shortly thereafter, but the band stayed together, added another New Musical Express writer, Chrissy Hind, and found a manager, Malcolm McLaren, who ran a boutique. By the time 1976 had dawned, the band was changing yet again, and as the coldest winter in recent memory faded away, they'd solidified into something truly scary.
I got a feeling inside of me. It's kind of strange, like a stormy sea. I don't know why, I don't know why. I guess these things have got to be. I've got a new rose, I've got a good. Yes, I knew that I always would. I can't stop to mess around.
They were called The Damned, and their bass player, Captain Sensible, wore a dress. Their lead singer wore suits and painted his face white to look like Dracula, and they drove London kids crazy. New Rose, which was produced by an old pub rocker named Nick Lowe, became the first blast of what would soon be known as punk rock. It had the energy of a classic Who record, but the Who's old audience was scandalized, which was the point, although I doubt anybody thought it would be that easy. The Damned's ex-manager, Malcolm McLaren, fired the next shot a month later with the Sex Pistols' Anarchy in the UK, and bands started appearing daily. Half of The Damned had played in a band called the London SS, and that band had mutated into one of the most popular of the new groups. Clash were political, the Sex Pistols nihilists, and The Damned just good goofy fun. Naturally, with so many allies in the press, they got lots of publicity, and pretty soon kids all over England wanted to form punk rock bands and move to London. In Bromley, just outside of London, there were Susan Dalion, Steve Havoc, and William Broad, suburban kids in revolt. One night on stage at the 100 Club, Susie and Steve became Susie and the Banshees. As for William Broad, his new band was the first to play at London's top punk club, the Roxy. They were called Generation X, and Broad called himself Billy Idol. Just to make sure they made history, their first single was an answer record of sorts to The Who's old anthem.
Trying to forget your generation.
The great thing about the punk movement in London was its egalitarianism. In a rock scene that seemed divided forever between ostentatious royalty like Rod Stewart, the man the punks loved to hate, and hundreds of bands still playing the same beery joints, punk attracted upper-middle-class art students like the group Wire.
One, two, X, yo!
At the same time, it was giving opportunities for such working class kids as 999. This was just London. In the provinces, bands like Warsaw, the Buzzcocks, The Fall, and many others geared up for their moment in the limelight. It was the start of rock and roll's last great burst of optimism, of do-it-yourself. It's hard to believe that it was actually 13 years ago that most of this music was recorded, and it's weird to feel nostalgic about it, that's for sure.